It's so scary.
Yeah, that sounds very bad. Right? The way you saw me, like, remove the nerve, I'm like, oh. Yeah. Hi, everyone. So, welcome to the next The Bite Angle episode. Over here, we have Dr. Eliza Yap, who will be joining us in the future at Dental Designs Clinic. Dr. Eliza is a very well-known endodontist. Alright, and we're going to talk more about root canal treatments today and sort of the myths behind root canal treatments. Alright, so hi Eliza, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
It's the first time you're doing a podcast, right?
Yeah,
you get used to it, Alright, so where do you study? Just let us know more about yourself.
I did my bachelor's degree in National University of Singapore. I graduated in 2015, then I practiced as a general dentist for a couple of years, and then what really interested me was root canal treatments, so I decided to pursue my training in that, and so I got my master's in endodontics.
Okay. Like, it always puzzles me that it's like root canals are so, like, you know, it's a very, very niche treatment, and why do you need 3 years to really get good at it? Is there a lot of research behind it? A lot of things that you do? What happens in university during your specialization?
I would say that 90% of the time, the kind of cases that we see are just a conventional root canal treatment. But there's also 10% of the cases where most patients aren't even aware that we cover this scope of work. So they include retreatments, that means revision of root canal treatments that were not done well. They also include root canal surgeries, management of dental trauma. When patients fall down, they break their teeth drops out, we help with that. And we also can do a wide range of treatments for young children with immature permanent teeth.
Mm.
So what we do in university is actually a mixture of clinics as well as didactics. We look through research papers that are published in well-known journals. We look through the quality of the research that is done. We want to keep ourselves up to date with all the things that are going on internationally. And we also debate about which is the best treatment for the patients, depending on which cases we have. So it actually, what I truly enjoy about the course is it merges what we do clinically with the theory.
Mm.
So while we do treatment on a daily basis, we tend to...
So it's very evidence-based,
It's very hard to actually merge what we know on paper with what we do for our patients. But when you go to uni, we have that kind of thought processes that kind of gels everything together. So that's actually the best part of the training program for me.
Right. Actually, I find that that's a big, I wouldn't say issue, but a very common thing in dentistry is that a lot of dentists go by their feel and like by anecdotal experiences. Sometimes it could be very, very dangerous, and what works for someone might not work for someone else, or what works for the patient might not work for someone else, right? So so having an evidence-based, like good evidence-based work, I think that really helps a lot. So tell us more about like sort of root canal treatment, like how, like I think a lot of people don't really know what's a root canal treatment. Do you agree? Like, you always have to explain like what's a root canal treatment.
Yeah.
Can you share with us what's
that? So inside the each and every of our tooth, there's some nerves and blood vessels inside that keeps the tooth alive. So what root canal treatment means is that we take out the infected and damaged nerves inside, and then we clean it up, we seal it up, and that's it. So a lot of patients come to me, their most common question will be, root canal treatment is so scary.
That sounds very bad. Right? The way you sound, remove the nerve, I'm like, oh. So like, is it usually painful? Is that what, I don't know, like, I don't know where is this like conception that why is it so painful?
I think a lot of patients don't know what root canal treatment is. That's why they get scared. And then when they Google for root canal treatment, they look up videos that may not be accurate. And then when they see these images, they get so frightened. So this misconception actually fuel their fears. So really, root canal treatment can be quite painless. I would tell most of my patients, the most painful part is just the injection. It's like getting a COVID jab. After that, once you're done with the injection, And if it's truly effective, root canal treatment is actually quite painless. It's nothing more than getting a filling done, but in a longer duration of time.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, that's why I always hear, like, is it, the first thing I say, is it painful? Is it going to be painful?
And then a lot of them think that it's a surgery, but most of our treatment are not surgical procedures.
It's actually like a filling, like extended filling, right? It's just a deeper filling that we have to do, sort of thing. Mm. I always like root canal treatments because, like, you get to play with a lot of gadgets, like different machines you're going to use, and then, like, microscopes you're going to use. I think to set up a good root canal clinic, you really need to spend a lot of money to get it.
Definitely.
I think it's a big thing. And often, how long is the treatment like in root canal treatment?
Actually, it really varies depending on the complexity of the tooth.
Yeah.
Usually for front teeth, it tends to be simple, but as it progresses more towards the premolars and molars, those can be a little complicated. So I'd say a typical procedure itself will probably range somewhere between half an hour to an hour plus minus.
That's pretty fast. Yeah. I've heard longer.
Actually, I go with the flow. If some patients feel that, hey, this is a little too much for me, an hour is a bit too much, I'll tell them, we take things slow. We finish what we can this visit, and then we just break it up into smaller visits if this is too much for you. But typically, most patients finish in two visits, plus minus 30 to 60 minutes for the whole procedure.
So that's like 2 hours in the chair, around there. Yeah, I think you're right. But I think a good thing about root canal is that you don't need to force the patient to like do this procedure like from start to finish at one shot.
Yeah.
You can always, like, as long as you get rid of the pain, which is quite simple, that's quite, you know, quite chill. Like, you can just find another canal another day kind of thing if the patient's, like, tired or things like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. Cool. So, with a root canal treatment, like, how do you actually find a canal? Sometimes it gets really difficult to find a canal, right? How do you look for the canals?
First, we have to take x-rays. X-rays are a must. Without good x-rays...
Yeah, so what happens if a patient doesn't want to take x-rays?
Cannot do root canal.
Is it?
Because you need the x-rays to know what's the anatomy like. So I would say most of the time, if we do root canal treatment, 90% of the cases, the anatomy is quite predictable. But sometimes, some patients can really shock you. So I had this case... For central incisor, most patients usually only have one big ovoid canal, just a circular one. And this patient, when we took the x-ray, he had three canals. Yeah, then I was like, oh, thank goodness we took an x-ray because now we know what to expect, you see.
Yeah.
That's really important. Then intraoperatively, we have the microscope with bright lights, magnification. We tend to be able to analyze the anatomy of the tooth internally rather well. And even if it's calcified, we can look for certain landmarks, the color of the tooth internally to help us find these canals.
Mm.
So,
what happens if the patient is pregnant? Like, will you still take an x-ray?
Mm.
How does that usually work?
I think it really depends on the patient's risk appetite, because typically if we take x-rays for a pregnant patient, the x-rays are actually very small and the radiation is very low. We can also help them wear a lead apron to cover their baby. But most moms are very scared.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if it's me, I'll be a bit fearful. So what if something goes wrong? Better not take. So I'll just tell them, if you have a previous x-ray, even if it's not updated, this will be really useful. But if they really don't want to take x-rays, it's fine. We will just play by ear. What we can do is some superficial cleaning first of the nerve canals and see where we go. And then thereafter,
that should
relieve the pain.
Yeah.
And at least till they deliver the baby, finish confinement, then they can come back and follow up with the treatment. That works for a lot of patients, actually.
I think the issue is that a lot of people think that x-rays are very, very dangerous. Or like this kind of x-ray is very small. The film is only like possible.
Yeah, it's really small.
So like it doesn't really affect the baby at all.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's great. That's really cool. I think the notion of like pain and like there's a lot of unknown things about root canal. That's why it like creates a lot of fear.
Yeah.
Right? You think so? Yeah. It's crazy. And you know, like there's this thing about root canals causes cancer. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I heard about that.
I don't know whether we should bring this up. But anyway, but do you get patients asking you about that before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Previously
on Netflix, right?
Yeah. There was this show called The Root Cause.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the endo community, we watched it and we were like, no, that's not true. And because it's not true, everybody petitioned against it and it got taken down.
Oh, so it was a real petition?
That was what I heard.
Okay, like, okay. Because it was and then it went away, right?
Yeah, it went away. Okay. I would say that most of our materials are they have been used for many years. And in fact, they're very safe. We are developing newer materials over the years. And these are absolutely safe. We even use them in kits.
Yeah. Okay. I do sometimes get some of these of our patients asking about that. Because, I mean, they probably Google online and then they always see their name. It's not real, I guess.
The modern day and age, the kind of materials we use are absolutely safe. No issues with cancer and all that. Not proven.
Absolutely right. So in terms of root canal, what would one expect? Why do you need a root canal? I think that's what a lot of viewers want to ask. Why do you need a root canal?
Okay, I would think it may be due to three causes.
Yep.
The first cause would be very bad tooth decay that affects the nerves and blood supplies of the tooth. The second most common cause would be cracked teeth. Nowadays, more and more patients are cracking their teeth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether it's due to the nuts or they're grinding their teeth, clenching their teeth. Teeth are cracking.
Stress, man. I think it's just stress. Yeah. I see a lot. I see a lot of crack. I think 50% of my work is just for cracked teeth.
Yeah, me too.
Just chipping or cracked teeth. It's not tooth decay.
And the third cause would be dental trauma. Patients slip and fall in the toilet, on a rainy day, when their bike catches on a chain on the floor and then they fall. Or during CCA. These are the three causes that we usually need to do root canal for this teeth.
Okay. Do you always get questions about, hey, I need to do a crown now, do I need to do a root canal as well?
Yeah, we often get that.
Yeah. and the answer is no, right?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
It really depends on a case-by-case basis. There are many reasons why we need to do root canal treatment, as previously mentioned, and there are also many reasons why we need to do crowns. So I would say that if you need a crown, first we have to check on your nerve first. We have to run several tests to make sure the nerve is healthy and all right. But the pure act of actually trimming the tooth down to do a crown introduces some sort of injury to the nerve. So it comes in the form of a chemical injury, a mechanical injury, as well as some thermal injury to the tooth.
So it's most about 10% chance.
Yeah, about there. So most of the time, our nerves and blood vessels actually have the ability to adapt and respond to this stimuli.
Thing, I guess,
and they'll be okay after that. But there's a certain group of teeth that tends to react badly. They turn more sensitive. They end up having pain, some gum swelling at the side, and that's when you need root canal treatment. So most of the patients who actually have crowns done, they have a temporary crown in the meanwhile. I'll call that the trial phase. So if they're happy with a temporary crown, there's no problems with the tooth, the nerve kind of feels fine, they can go ahead with the crown without a root canal treatment. But during that trial phase, if it tends to be more sensitive and it acts up, and no choice, you have to drop by for a root canal visit first.
Yeah, so in our practice, what we do a lot of same day crowns, and I think that helps a lot of the root canal status of the tooth. Actually, I feel, and the reason why is because you only traumatize them once. You don't traumatize them multiple times with putting the temporary crown. Because I'm worried that the temporary crown is not fitting super well, so it's like leak.
You're right.
So actually, when we did same day crowns, and back then we were doing a lot of like temporary crowns method, but because we're doing a lot more same day crowns, we only traumatize the tooth once, and because it's done so fast, like within two three hours, like the tooth doesn't really know that it's been traumatized before you put something on it. It's like doing a filling, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that has helped. The only question comes when if there was a root canal done, that like if really a root canal is needed after we put on the crown, then we might have to drill through the crown and damage the crown to get the thing done. I think that's the only downside of us doing it. But the rates of having to do a root canal has significantly decreased because we actually did.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's something like I guess like immediate dentin's you in a different way. Yeah.
Actually, on that same note, even if you need to do a root canal through the crown, the hole that we open is actually really tiny. So I wouldn't really consider
it. They call it really ninja. Is it ninja?
That's another form of access. Oh, but yeah. The usual access that we do is actually typically quite small. So I wouldn't really consider it a damage to the crown. I think the crown can fit pretty well and we can still retain it in the long run. Most of the time, there's no issues with that.
Yeah, so I think that's one of our things as well. We don't really change crowns if it's like a need for the crown. Because the small, the hole is really, really tiny. And like some people say, hey, you got to change the crown and because the crown might break. I'm like, dude, if I remove the crown, I might damage more tooth away.
Yeah.
I remove more tooth away. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like damaging the tooth itself rather than just doing a nicer crown?
Yeah, we can just drill a small hole, fix the root canal, and patch it back.
The hole is very small, right? Like,
yeah.
I think your hole can be like, I've seen it's really 2mm, 3mm.
Yeah, that can be done.
That's insane, man. And you need a microscope for that.
Yeah.
Because like, the microscope goes, what's the magnification of a microscope?
I think it can go up to 40 times magnification. 40 times?
Wow. Mm. Okay. Yeah, so I use microscopes, but I don't use it for root canals. I mean, I use it for root canals, mainly for preparation of teeth, and I don't go 40 times. 40 times I can see the nail prisms, right?
It's a bit straining for the eyes. But it is, right? When we use it, when we really need to find the tiny canals.
I mean, how do you like cope with like spending like 8 hours looking at a microscope? Is it like very tiring for your eyes?
I would say that I only use it at stages where it's required.
Okay.
Because it's like
a show hand technique. Like, once you use a microscope, you do full magnification, it's like very tiring for your eyes. You only can do it for
The lights are so bright also.
Yeah.
So usually I will use it for excess. So once I find my canals, I know that I'm doing the cleaning. The procedure is quite standard. I wouldn't use it. And then subsequently, after I'm done cleaning, I'll check, hey, is it clean enough? Are there any areas that I have to refine? Then I'll bring back the microscope to check. And then
so you won't use the microscope at all, or is it just like low?
I will use it at pretty high magnification, but at appropriate junctures to check whether I'm doing it well, you see. Yeah. But staring at it throughout the whole day is really taxing on the eyes. The lights are too bright. So.
Too bright, yeah. It's really, really bright. I mean, then I guess you have it better for me than me because when I prep 4 hours or 8 hours under the microscope, I tell you, my eyes, the end of the day, is really, really, really tired.
Yeah, so. It can be.
Yeah, and I'm wearing contacts, so it gets a bit tiring. But at least for me, I bought the most expensive contacts that I have. It's a UV filter, a blue light filter. So I'm hoping that
does it help?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because if you have like a naked eye, like then all the blue light will go in the UV light, and it'll be a little bit more tiring. So I'm like, it looks like it's better. It's like wearing one of those. I guess one of those, like, you know, like those glasses that's like totally no, like degrees, no.
But it has the.
But it's a blue light and the.
Yeah, that's what people wear when they use computer screens for a long time.
I'm hoping that it's the same. So I can take care of my eyes. I mean, for them, this is like eyes are. Actually, everything, like, this is like eyes.
You need
hands,
your hands, you need your legs. Yeah, like, you need everything.
Alright, that's kind of insane. Alright, so I got a question here about how do you manage cracked teeth? That's like a big thing now, right? Like we just spoke about. Before we go there, do you think it's like the Asian diet? Or like, do you think a diet plays a big role in Singapore context compared to?
Yes, I think so. A lot of patients, like the younger group, they like to go for healthier snacks. Like granola bars, nuts, the healthier options. So this can be really tough. It's like, oh, I mixed granola almonds this morning for a good start to the day. And these are really bad for the teeth. And then we have the older crowds. Some of them like to chew on those stuff, softer bones in the
meat. The cartilages.
Those can be rather tough also. Yeah. Or some even go for raw carrots and vegetables in salads that can be really quite taxing for the teeth. So I think diet actually makes a pretty big...
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the past, when I was in Australia studying, I didn't see so many cracked teeth. Because they were of an older crowd, and their diet was mostly, like, potatoes, softer food.
Yeah, but most of my patients tell me, oh, I love to eat nuts, and when I open a packet of nuts, I have to finish it. I can't just like put a seal on it. I have to finish the whole bag of nuts. And then I was like, I know where you're coming from because it's the same for me. I try to stop myself, but once it's open, I have to finish it.
I also think that we just bite on shells and crabs.
In Singapore,
at least in Singapore, like the chili crab industry is really good. But like in Australia, I don't really see them biting on any shellfish at all. It's just,
Actually, do you think it has got to do with the stressful lifestyle in Singapore? A lot of patients are grinding and clenching their teeth as well.
I think clenching, right? Yeah, you're right. That's a big topic, but I think also people are getting a bit more obese. That could help with grinding. So that would be contributing to grinding because, like, sleep apnea and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that could be also why. Actually, you get to see a lot more cracked teeth. So how do you manage that? That's a big thing, right? Because to a lot of people, it looks like a line. And when I take photos for my patients, mm-hmm. of the teeth, and then I show them a crack, they're like, where's the crack? So the line, right? The teeth have so many lines because the anatomy look like lines, right? How do you manage a crack in your case?
So I think the most important part is diagnosis first.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of patients with cracked teeth come telling me that, my tooth is very sensitive, it hurts when I bite, but I don't know where it is. This is actually a very difficult part of management of cracked teeth because diagnosis is truly something that can be very confusing for the patient and the dentist.
Mm.
So we have to run the appropriate test, take some x-rays to know what's going on. So I would say the classic sign of a cracked tooth is pain on biting, and we must see the crack. So how do we see a crack in a dental operatory? What we do is we can either stain the crack with a methylene blue, it's like a blue dye, that we can stain to highlight.
It's so messy, man. I have one bottle. It's so messy.
Just a little bit would be enough.
Yeah.
And then apart from that, you can use...
How do you get it out, by the way?
Oh.
It's very hard to get out, right? It takes a while to...
Quite alright. I just use really a tiny drop. And then it highlights what I need to see. But if not, you can use transilluminator. So you shine the light through. If there's a crack there, it blocks the light from passing through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we run this test to make sure that we got the right tooth. But more often than not, I find that patients are presenting more than one cracked tooth. They have multiple cracked teeth because due to diet, due to stress, they are biting very heavy forces.
The issue is that you don't know which of the crack is the one causing that
pain. Yes, that's right. That's a tricky part. Yeah. So that we have to run a lot of tests to know which one is the one hurting them. And then we deal with the most painful one first. Not all cracked teeth need immediate treatment, just the ones that cause you the most pain first.
Mm.
Yeah, then the rest we can take our time to figure out what to do.
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing a lot more crowns now because of cracked teeth. And I'm on the camp that if you have cracked teeth, you should be more like, just do preventive.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, just protect it first. I mean, yes, you have to trim tooth and it's a bit more costly, but it's a lot more costlier if you have to lose a tooth or do a root canal treatment and implant in the future. So, yeah. And I think in the CBD, where our patients are, insane, man. It's insane. it's interesting. Especially in CBD because like, I think the CBD crowd has, they have good oral hygiene. Mm-hmm. Usually, they are quite OCD kind of like nature. Mm-hmm. Like they really want to brush teeth and so that. But then they can't like, can't help clenching the teeth, right?
Yeah.
Stop clenching the teeth. So that's why it tends to happen, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Cracks. You'll be delighted to know that we have a good transluminator in our clinics and, the microscope. Okay, cool. In terms of root canal treatments as well, what's the first procedure? You said there was two sort of different visits, right? There was the first visit and the second visit. What do you do?
Okay, so the first visit, it's what we call cleaning and shaping.
Yeah.
It's kind of like disinfecting the root canal. So in layman's term, what we do is we make a very small opening to gain access to the root canal system. And then we use tiny little files, also known as like little brushes, to do some cleaning inside. And then we use some chemicals to disinfect the canal. After that, we put some medicine in and we seal up the tooth. So while the patient's not here on the chair with me, the medicine is doing its effect to clean up the tooth.
Mm.
Okay? So the next visit, what we'll do is we'll check if everything is much better. The gum swelling has to improve, the pain has to go away. And if that has been achieved, we'll then move on to the second stage of treatment, which is known as obturation. In layman's terms, it's known as sealing up the root canal. So what
by
we,
filling it up.
Filling yeah. it up. But this filling is a bit different from the fillings that we do usually. We have to put a filling right at the root tip all the way towards the top, not just a superficial filling at the top. And then we'll build the foundation, and this will serve as a basis for our crown later on if required.
And what's the point of the root filling?
The root filling is such... So you look at the medicine that we are placing inside, usually it's a creamy white paste. So this paste is something that eventually will not last. It's only there for an interim purpose. So when we place a root canal filling material inside, it's an inert material that tends to seal up the root canal system. We want to prevent new bacteria from entering, and we want to entomb the whole tooth such that it's well sealed, and this will prevent recurrent infections.
And then, like, you know, a lot of patients asking me, like, hey, why can't you just take antibiotics? You know what I mean? Like,
I get it.
And the pain goes away and it's fine. Like, why can't you just keep on doing that? Or, like, why can't I sort of do that and the tooth is alright after that?
I think that it's a stopgap measure.
Okay.
Usually, if you have a root canal infected tooth, the problem is actually quite localized. If you take antibiotics, it can kind of stop the infection from spreading systemically, but it doesn't quite solve the root cause. Yeah, so if your infection is still brewing there, once the antibiotic course is over and it takes time for the bacteria to multiply, eventually the problem will still recur. You'll get a gum boil over there, you still have pain coming back. So antibiotics can only help you short-term, but not in the long-term. And in fact, nowadays, the international guidelines are suggesting that antibiotics can only be given for facial swelling, associated fever, rapidly progressing infections. It's not something that we have to give on a daily basis to each and every of our patients. It's actually more like a selected few that have very bad infections. It's not something that we eat like vitamins every day. It won't solve the problem.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of patients ask, right?
Yes, they do.
But is there like, you know, an issue where you, like, you wouldn't do a root canal? You know that the tooth is dead, is that? But you don't want to do a root canal because there's a lot of swelling. Would you give antibiotics first or, like, you know?
Yes, there are some cases like that. So for some patients who have very bad infections progressing to a larger part of their jaws, they have what we call trismus, where they can't open their mouth wide. So with that, our instruments can't go in. Any treatment that we're going to do will be very challenging and painful for the patient because they can't open their mouth wide. So usually you give them antibiotics first, a short course just to resolve this infection. Yep. And then when they feel much better and their mouth can open much wider, then it'll be easier for us to access to do root canal treatment. So that's when we usually will give antibiotics first.
I can imagine, like, those people who kind of open really, really wide, that's actually very hard, like, for you as well.
Yeah, because our instruments have a certain length in order to do effective cleaning. So if your mouth opening is just like one finger's breadth, it's very challenging to put instruments in.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the worst is only the last tooth. Yeah. That's the worst, right? Yeah. And then I think that's why I struggled with last time. Like the access. The front is like easy, right? But the one in the back is like, oh. And there are more canals there. So that, and that's why it's a lot more expensive as well, I think, for back teeth as well. In terms of root canals, what are sort of the modern technologies present out there nowadays that is, like, I think the perception of root canals treatments was a lot to do with the past. Like, maybe technology was really backward last time, and how has this helped, you know, since then?
I think a lot of things have changed. Firstly, our techniques that we are using are very conservative. In the past, we tend to make very big cavities in order to see the root canals. We also use very...
Last time in the past, there's no microscope, right?
Yeah, there isn't. And so you have to actually make your cavities very wide in order to see where you're going. The metal instruments that we use for cleaning tend to be stiffer in the past. So a lot of them tend to open the tooth much wider.
So when you open the tooth much wider, what happens?
The tooth becomes very brittle. They tend to fracture easily.
Yep.
So now with modern technology, as well as the techniques we're using and the equipment that we have, we can see better. And the instruments that we are using are thinner and more flexible. So this means that we can open up our teeth to smaller sizes, preserving and conserving the tooth structure so that they can last longer without fracturing. So this lets us keep our teeth, or translates to longer longevity for the tooth. And patients are happier because now root canal treatment can last 10 years or longer, you see.
So what's the success rate for root canals?
Most international studies quote more than 90%.
More than 90% over 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And is that with a crown or without a crown?
Usually for molars, we recommend with a crown.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
They say that if you don't have a crown, you're at 6 times higher risk of fracturing your tooth. So,
that's
for
a lot.
Molars, yeah.
And so without a crown, how what's the ballpark figure of how long it can last?
It really depends because...
It depends on the diet and everything, right?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
So a little hard to tell, but most of the time we'll recommend crowns for molars if they're if they have a very large filling, and then we'll probably recommend a crown like a helmet to protect the tooth from fracturing.
Okay, that's cool. Just have a look. You're finishing your cycle in soon. And are you excited to join us in the clinic soon?
Yeah, definitely. Excited for some change.
Yeah. Now, when you say x-rays, how many x-rays are we looking at taking for regular?
Usually we'll take one at the diagnosis stage just to make sure that we are seeing what we need to see.
Yeah.
And thereafter, during the treatment itself, we probably have to take maybe another 3-4 more x-rays, including treatment completion.
Yeah.
The reason being is that root canals are actually something that is very, very difficult to see through the microscope.
See the top, yeah.
You only see the top. It's like if you have a straw, you only see the opening of the straw. You don't see the whole way.
So
if we take x-rays, we can actually see whether we are doing a good job. These are check x-rays to make sure that along the way, things are going well. We don't want to get a surprise at the end.
Mm.
So we take check x-rays only at necessary stages. If they are not needed, I won't take them because nobody wants to get irradiated for no reason, right? So including the check x-rays as well as the final completion x-rays, maybe all in all 4 to 5 x-rays only if required.
Okay, and the x-rays are like, how low those are? Is it like a banana or something like that?
Probably a really low dose.
Like, I need to find this out. But I think one of the biggest things is also when you do the root canals as well with the x-rays and all that, do you need follow-up after the treatment?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
So I would say root canal treatment's success rate is around 90%. So that means about 1 out of 10 people will have some problems with it. They may come in the form of persistent infection, although they may be asymptomatic, no pain, no problems in the mouth, they can show up as little infections on the x-rays that might persist throughout the years. So with that, it's actually recommended to follow up with the patients every 6 monthly or at least annually to take x-rays to make sure that the infections are decreasing in size. So follow-ups are necessary for that reason.
But you can't take how every year, is it every year?
Yeah, every year.
So if you take too early, you can't see the difference.
Yeah, you can't see a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes I will also like to make sure that my patients are well taken care of, for their usual dental health. So most of these patients who have cracked teeth, I want to make sure, you must have the crown on the top. Or if you're very prone to decays, I want to make sure that you don't have any more decays needing another root canal treatment. If we do see small cavities during your checkups with me, I'll refer you back to your dentist. Make sure you get all the small cavities filled up before they progress into another root canal treatment.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And how often do you see them? Every year for how many years?
The cutoff point is usually about 4 years, but if they do show quite good healing at the start, maybe just for the first year should be sufficient.
Okay. Do you see them more than 4 years?
For several reasons, some patients' healing dynamics are a little bit different. They take a little longer to heal, so we'll see them beyond 4 years. But for some patients, they're like friends to me, so they enjoy coming back to see me and me too, you see. So we see them for more than 4 years.
Yeah. Okay, cool. For that kind of x-rays, I guess every year you've got to take a new x-ray.
Mm.
Okay. Can you pair with other x-rays or do you need to just take that particular tooth? That means let's say you have 2 or 3 canals you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take 2 or 3 x-rays or, you know.
We usually take periapical x-rays, which are really very small x-rays. They're like smaller than a biscuit.
Yep.
So we have to zoom in to look at the quality of the root fill and the infection there. So we really need those x-rays to see whether it's improving.
Mm-hmm.
But if the patient requires other sort of treatments, we can take other x-rays, but usually they are taken by their primary dentist.
Okay, got it. So basically, I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm just looking at the bananas. I think what happens is that a lot of patients just think that root canals are one-off. You just do a root canal and you don't come back to the dentist anymore to get it checked out. You do a crown and, like, you know, the root canal is supposed to work like 100% of the time for forever. So I think that's very important that we need to do reviews. And a lot of my patients, a lot of our patients, actually in general, like, don't really know that we need to do a review, right? So, yeah, good thing. We should do a review. And what happens if there's an infection? What happens? What do you usually do?
Usually we need to know what is the cause behind the infection. Yeah. If it's truly due to the crack propagating downwards, it's a little tough to treat the tooth. It may require an extraction. But if the situation isn't so bad, it may be due to a persistent infection in the area. There are two ways in which we can treat the tooth. The first way would be a root canal retreatment. That means it's a revision of what was previously done. That one will be a non-surgical procedure where we take out the old root filling and the old foundation and we redress it with some medication, do a second round of cleaning. That one, the success rate is about 75 to 85%. Okay. The other mode of treatment would be to do a surgery. So what we do for a surgery is first we can take a 3D scan to make sure that it's suitable for surgery, not too close to any vital structures like nerve canals, the main nerve canals and so on.
Yep.
And then we can actually expose a little bit of the root and then do some cleaning of the root just at the root tip, shave off about 2-3 mm and then seal it up from the bottom up.
So basically you're entombing the bacteria inside by just sealing, putting a seal.
Yeah.
Not from the top, but from the bottom.
Yes, you're right. Okay. And some of these cases are actually associated with cysts. So it's like a balloon with a lining inside. That's why when you go through the top, it cannot resolve. So if you do a surgery, you can actually take out that whole balloon and then send it for a biopsy and make sure the cleaning is done well from the bottom up. Because actually, if you look at the root canal system, the most intricate part of the root canal system is actually at the last 2-3 mm. Okay, it has a lot of web-like systems,
like
a lot of deltas, fins, lateral canals, where it's very difficult to clean from the top down because that's almost like 2 cm or more to clean. From the top down, it's at least 2 cm.
Yeah.
So if you do a root canal surgery, you're really targeting that area that needs the attention. Mm-hmm. So that's when we do surgeries for such cases.
And it's a very small procedure. I saw you do it before. It's like just a little slit and then you just remove the last part and then you plug it up. I think you need to do it under microscope.
Yes, definitely. It's part of a microsurgery. We do it on a very small scale. So patients actually find that it's a rather simple procedure that they can accept. And some of my patients after treatment, I'll be like, if you're worried about the pain, I'll give you this painkillers, that painkillers. And then when I see them for review, they're like, I didn't need.
Oh, really?
I didn't have the need for that.
Okay, yeah. That's amazing. So, do you put bone graft inside?
Depends, case by case basis. Usually we don't put bone graft because it's more or less in an enclosed environment where it's supposed to heal by itself. So bone grafts are not required most of the time.
Okay, so you just remove the infection and you cover it up most of the time.
Mm.
Okay. And I think the best thing about this also is that you get to read. Because if you did a crown already, then you don't need to change the crown as well, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that's... I think that's one of the things that a lot of our patients who have done root canals, like, oh, there's an infection, then I might just do a surgery and close up. I really like the crown. I'm just going to keep the crown there.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, anyway. Bananas-wise, I'm like looking at it, and bananas, it's 0.1 microsieverts. And the regular x-ray is about, what, 10?
Yeah.
So it's about 100 bananas. Is it 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 100 bananas for an x-ray. So it's not that bad, actually. Think about it. So my mom gives me bananas all the time. Anyway. I think with that as well, we're going to end our episode of The Bite Angle. Thank you so much, Eliza, for having us here today. I'm looking forward to seeing her at our clinic. Thank you.
Thank you.